الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us by His infinite grace and His amazing bounty. He has granted us abundance in so many things. And one of the big blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to communities is an abundance in wealth. And the interesting thing about this abundance in wealth is that if a person learns to use their wealth properly, then it becomes an excuse for additional wealth. And in particular, if a person learns to take the wealth that they've been given and to spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only bestows upon them so much more. It's funny, I'll just give you a simple example, which is really the point that I want to make. But just imagine for a minute, if you want to understand wealth and you want to understand the relationship of wealth to yourself and how it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the example would be that imagine you have a child. Okay, imagine you have a child. And you make, I don't know, you make $100,000 a year. And you give your child $5. They do something, you give them $5. Now your child comes to you, that you take your child to some event, fundraising dinner, masjid fundraiser, whatever it might be. And the person is raising funds. So your child comes to you and he says, should I give my money? He has $5, right? Your child has $5. So he says, should I give my money? So you say to your child, you know, what do you think you should do? He says, I don't know. I only have $5. Well, if I give this money, I won't have any more money. And, you know, I was thinking about buying this and buying that. So you tell your child, look, if you give $5, I'll give you a lot more. Just if you give the $5, I'll give you a lot more. So you're thinking in the back of your mind, he'll give $5, I'll give him 20, I'll give him 30, I'll give him 50, whatever it might be. And the child has confidence because he sees that you're the father and that you have some wealth and that, you know, you fulfill your promise. So he gives $5 and you're so happy with him that he gave $5, so you give him $100. Very easy for you. He's happy. You're happy. In fact, you say, the reason I gave you the 100 was because you gave the 5. If you didn't give the 100, if you didn't give the 5, I wasn't going to give you the 100. Okay? Now that's just you and your child, right? Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of the whole universe. He gives you $5. I know you call it $100,000, $50,000, $40,000, whatever you make. Okay, he gives you that much. That amount that he gives you is not a reflection of what he owns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wealth is infinite. That amount that he bestows upon us is actually a test. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give $5. Give whatever you can from your wealth. You decide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't set the number. You decide whatever you have, whatever is convenient, whatever is comfortable for you, you give. And whatever you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so happy with it that he just bestows more upon you. The same way like you would be so happy with your child if they gave their money. And then to teach them a lesson that they should give more, you would actually give them more. In the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us, when we spend, it never ever decreases. It's in hadith as well. When an individual spends from their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it never ever decreases. And interestingly, you know, you can say to your son, give the whole 5, I'll give you back more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even ask for the 5. He asks for whatever is possible for you, from you. In fact, you're prohibited from giving the fat. If what you have is, let's say you have X amount, and that amount is necessary for the family to be able to sustain the family, feed the family, etc., you're prohibited from giving that amount. What's required is to give from the excess. And not even the whole, maybe half, not even the half, just a small amount. And whatever amount is given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He multiplies it in two ways. First of all, He always returns it in this life. He always returns it in this life. And people who give sadaqah and people who don't count when they give sadaqah, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make any need for them to count. They just, money is just coming in from different directions. They have no idea what's going on. They're spending from one side and money's coming from the other side. So that's one major blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in this life. And in fact, the ulama say, and I've heard Hazrat say this as well, that they... person who gives is actually given more, because that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distributes wealth in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses people to distribute wealth, and when people distribute their wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows more upon them. And I think I might have given you the example before. It's like the Coca-Cola distributor. You know, you call up Coca-Cola and you say, I want to be a distributor of Coca-Cola. So what do? They bring a truck and they drop off 16 crates of Coca-Cola. 24 packs of Coca-Cola. Now what happens? You sit there and you say, if I sell this, I won't have any left. So you keep it. So the next time the Coca-Cola truck comes by, you're fully stocked, they're going to drive away. They're not going to give you anything. But if you actually sell and you empty the shelves, the next time they come by, they'll give you double. Or they might give you triple, because you have much more demand than what the supply is. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's bestowing wealth upon the community, He bestows wealth upon those people that spend it. Because that's the mechanism by which people can benefit. So if wealth needs to reach the poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to the people who have wealth, and then it's their responsibility to distribute it. If they don't distribute it, the next time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a distribution, that person gets nothing. They just hang on to what they have, and they don't get anything. But if a person spends and spends and spends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replenishes and replenishes and replenishes. Because it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so happy when somebody spends in the path of Allah, that even more happy than a father would be if their child spent, or a mother would be if her child spent. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows wealth upon us, we should take that wealth, we should balance our needs to the needs that we have to fulfill in this life with the need that we have to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should see that as a need, we should see that as a means of increasing, we should see that as a way of increasing our wealth. The same way people think that if I get a promotion, I'll make 10% more. If I meet the marks in revenue, then I'll get a 10% bonus. So in the same way, we should have marks and goals in advance, and then we should hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will promote us in our wealth. And each time a person spends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promotes them in their wealth. So that's one. Number two, when a person spends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns it multiple times in the hereafter. And that's a totally separate phenomenon, where wealth is bestowed upon a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the person to use that wealth as a means of freeing themselves from the hellfire and as a means of creating a jannah for them in the hereafter. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that, save yourselves from the hellfire, even if it be with part of a date. Save yourselves from the hellfire, even if it be with part of a date. Now, what does that mean? That means that it means two things. If you have nothing but just a part of a date, and you can donate that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should do so, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use it as a means to save us from hellfire. So that's the first interpretation. The other interpretation is, hellfire is so bad that no matter what you have, you should throw everything at extinguishing it. Throw everything you have at extinguishing it. Empty your houses of everything you have to extinguish the hellfire. Take every ability you have and put it towards extinguishing the hellfire in the hereafter. Take even the little bit of a date that might be in your house. Don't leave even that behind. Now you look at, you know, people, they have collections in their home. You know, they collect pennies and jars. A person who truly understood the hellfire would be emptying those jars of their pennies and putting them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because even one penny, which, you know, a date, think of it that way, you know, even a fraction of a dollar, which would be like a fraction of a date, right? Even a fraction of a dollar, even a penny, should be thrown at the hellfire because every effort should be made by the human being to extinguish it. One of the ways by which we exhibit our cognizance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look, essentially what is ibadah? Ibadah is being cognizant that Allah is grand and we are low. That Allah is in control and that we are His servants. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master of the universe and we are under His dominion. This is what ibadah is. That's why the hadith that ad-du'a mukhul ibadah, that du'a is the core of ibadah. The ulama, then they interpret that. Why is du'a the core of ibadah? Because in du'a, a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beseeches them, knowing that no one else can help them except Allah, and that there is no other way for them out of their circumstance except Allah. When people turn to du'a, they usually exhausted everything in this life, right? They exhausted their connections, they exhausted their friends, they exhausted their wealth. So when a person turns to du'a, they are at their very, very wit's end, the true du'a, and they know that only Allah and Allah alone can help them. Now, that becomes the essence of ibadah. And so that highlights that the essence of ibadah is a cognizance of the reality of the grandeur of Allah and the pettiness of human beings. So in the same way, when a person thinks about the hellfire and thinks about the punishment that potentially exists in front of them, then by being cognizant of how difficult that could be, by being cognizant of the fact that Allah has created it, and Allah will be the one that controls who goes there, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, it must be extreme, because Allah is magnificent in the way in which He creates. So when a person recognizes these aspects and angles of Jahannam, and then they begin to take every penny they have, literally, they see a penny in underneath the couch, and they say, let me take this penny out of the couch and free myself from that potential. Let me extinguish a little bit of that hellfire that could be underneath my feet. When they take that penny because they're so afraid of the hellfire and they donate it seeking protection from the hellfire, that is a sign that they have appreciated the greatness and the grandeur of Allah, the ability of Allah to punish and the difficulty that potentially falls before them. If a person, you know, if a person, you threaten a person, and a person knows you have no ability, right? You threaten somebody and you say, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do that to you, I'm going to do this to you, and you have nothing to do, you have no power, you have no ability, you have no status, the person just looks at you and laughs. But if your boss calls you in the office and says, look, the next time I catch you do this, you're out of here, you'll be shaking all day. Why? Because the person has power, the person has dominion, the person has some ability over you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's a Jahannam and that you should fear it, and that we should fear Allah and protect ourselves from it, then we can simply laugh and play games and pretend that it doesn't exist. You know, we're going around having a joyful life and not even afraid of what comes before us. It's just all a big joke. It's a big game. It doesn't matter. You know, what is this stuff that's being talked about? It's a big fairy tale. Or a person can say, this is in front of me. This is real. Just as everything around me is real, Allah has created this just as another part of life. It's definitely real. And then a person responds by taking every single thing they have and throwing it to extinguish that fire. So this is the attitude of the believer. So when we look at sadaqah and we look at the wealth that Allah has given us, we have two intentions. The first hope, why don't we say the first hope, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us His distributor. That He will allow us to be a distributor and a representative of the wealth of the wealthy. The wealth of the master of the universe. The wealth of the one who's truly wealthy. So this is the first intention. that if maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is like an audition, it's a tryout. You know, you take your wealth and you begin to donate it, and you donate it, and you're showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is what I intend to do with my wealth. If you give me more, I will do more. If you give me less, I will do as much as I can. So that's one intention. And the second intention is to recognize the greatness and the grandeur of Allah and the fact that there is a day of judgment ahead of us and that there is a reality endpoint coming, which is Jannah and Jahannam. And rather than even potentially face Jahannam, we throw everything we have at it. We take every free moment and we try to calm the anger of Allah. We take every free moment and try to advance ourselves away from Jahannam and create a home in Jannah. And we, to the extent that we take every free penny and we never consider a penny worthless in this cause. There's two types of people that try to save money. One person is just stingy and their whole they just save money for the sake of saving money. They just go and waste hours and hours and hours trying to find a 10 cent less sale here and a dollar less sale there, but they spend the whole day wasting it and all they do is just keep the money with them. And there's another person that basically says, look, this is a 10 cents here. This is 8 cents here. It's worth it for me, assuming I don't have to travel far and waste time, it's worth it for me to save the 2 cents so that I can use that 2 cents to extinguish the fire of Jahannam. That's the attitude of the believer. They try to save everything they can in this life, recognizing that it's an opportunity to protect themselves in the hereafter. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah on our wealth and grant us wealth so that we're able to distribute it to those who are most in need. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to use this wealth to extinguish the fire that we have built underneath our feet. Wa akhirat da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.